If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
All right, let's get on the grid. Let's get on the XFL grid. Morenci Unfiltered, we appreciate you joining us on whatever platform or medium you're kicking it with us. We're into week three right now of the XFL. And if there's one thing we can take away from the league so far, at least from a betting standpoint, are the totals. Yet we've seen this in the past. We saw this trend with the Alliance Football League as well, in which the first couple of weeks, similar numbers too. I think it was actually 6-2 to the under after the first eight games of the Alliance Football League. And then week three, week four, week five, subsequently, the points started to come. Is this going to be the week in which we have points on the board in the XFL? Let's crunch some numbers and find out. You know what's amazing about this? So they've only played eight games. And one thing I want to say now, it's amazing to me. I just want to punch people in the face so much, man. So after the first XFL game, which was the Seattle Dragons and the DC Defenders, it was on ABC. It was the first one up, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, Twitter was blowing up. This is great. The XFL rocks. This league is here to stay. And, you know, the television numbers were off the hook. It's like 4 million people. They peaked at 4 million people for the XFL debut on ABC, which is damn good. And then, like, it's amazing to me after just, like, 2 weeks, well, the league, it'll never last. The quarterback play is bad. Guys, they played two football games, all right? That's less than what the NFL preseason is. Don't worry. Things are going to start to open up offensively as the season goes on. So the first game up tomorrow involves the Houston Roughnecks. Now, the Houston Roughnecks, a 2-0 football team, taking on the Tampa Bay Vipers, an 0-2 football team. And listen, the Tampa Bay Vipers were the more heavily hyped team coming into this, including by myself. And I didn't even realize this. I didn't know that the Vipers had the highest season, a win total. FanDuel didn't have a win totals. They only had futures. And when I looked at the Vipers, I thought the Vipers had an opportunity to be one of the better teams in the XFL, and I was dead wrong. They're freaking terrible. But they played both their games on the road. Aaron Murray's back at quarterback this week for the Vipers, although Aaron Murray is terrible. But, you know, do we want to lay 6.5 points with the Roughnecks in this spot here? No, I don't. As good as Walker has been at the quarterback position for Houston, Houston got all that they could handle last week from St. Louis. So we'll get to St. Louis. Houston are the better football team than Tampa. We know that through 2 weeks. Yet, Houston have played both their games at home, right? So they're going on the road for the first time right now. What I don't like about this is the Tampa Bay Vipers already have dissension. And it's, I guess there's one cool thing about the XFL, right? Matt McGloin ripping the coach during a game and stuff. You know what I think? We'll get to Matt McGloin in a couple of minutes too. But this is like, you know, it sounds crazy, but like this is a must-win game for the Tampa Bay Vipers. The Vipers, like, their organization is almost at stake. Like, imagine, like, it's their first home game here, and they get blown out, and they're 0-3. People aren't going to go, right? The stadium's going to – it's gonna get ugly there fast. So Tampa need to step up here, and I think they can. You know, I think – I'm leaning with the 6.5 points. I'm not telling you it's my best XFL bet of the weekend, but I am leaning with the 6.5 points here. I think they can hang around. Houston, their quarterback play has been really good, but as a whole, Houston numbers are just sort of mediocre. Houston are good, but I'm not sure I can justify them laying 6.5 points on the road. Now, we should note it's their first ever road game in franchise history, so we're all just sort of taking this step by step here, but we're all in it. You know, it's one thing we can say. The odds makers, they don't have any advantage over us when it comes to this, so you figure we should be able to beat them. through 2 weeks in the XFL, I haven't beaten them. I haven't lost. I'm literally, I think I'm like 6-6 or 5-5. Like, I literally, like, win a game, lose a game. Win two games, lose two games. I got, you know, the totals, 6-2 to the under. So the Roughneck and the Viper total is 45. I'm not betting the over, I'll tell you that much. I think points are going to come eventually in some of these games, but this is not one of them that I'm running to the window to bet on when you consider that the Tampa Bay Vipers haven't scored a touchdown in two games. The Vipers have been inside, I believe, the red zone 7 times this year. Failed to get 1 touchdown. Yeah, it's hard to bet an over on a team that has been inside the 20 7 times and has come away with 0 points in this spot. But we're going to take we'll take a chance here. We'll roll the dice on we'll roll the dice with the home dog in this spot and the Tampa Bay Vipers getting 6.5 points. Smaller play. This next game, you know, I was on Seattle last week against Tampa Bay, and Seattle are hosting the Dallas Renegades Saturday at 5, kickoff 5. The first game's 2 o'clock. Pretty much the same times every week with a couple of exceptions. So Dallas Renegades get the Seattle Dragons. Seattle Dragons have the most distinct home field advantage in the XFL. You know, they got 30,000 people last week, guys. You know, these other teams are getting 17,000, 18,000. They're playing in smaller stadiums. The Seattle Dragons play where the Seahawks play. And, you know, the Seattle Sounders are very, very well supported in the MLS. The Seattle Seahawks, they're big on their 12th man and making noise and all that. Well, the tradition is carried over into the Seattle Dragons. The Dragons were expected to be the worst team in the league, and they're not. In fact, they're pretty good. Their defense is pretty good. And, you know, their offense isn't great, but they do enough. You know, listen, they hung around with the D.C. Defenders in week one. They lost 31-19. They were getting like 7.5 points in that game. Seattle, like, downplayed it, too. Like, Jim Zorn, the head coach, former Seahawks quarterback, Jim Zorn, like, he said, you know, we're not, you know, we might not be as talented as some of the other XFL teams. We're not as fast or as skilled. And I don't know. Like, if you watch them play, they match up with everybody. So I'm glad that people fell for his hustle here. And the Dallas Renegades get hyped because Landry Jones is their quarterback. And because Bob Stoops is their head coach. Now, they lost in week one. Landry Jones didn't play. They won last week, but it took like a fourth quarter rally to get their offense going. I think it's a tough spot for them. Dallas are another team. And, you know, well, I don't want to repeat myself here too much, guys, but the fact of the matter is it's a new effing league here, right? So we're throwing darts. But I'm betting against these teams. And Houston and Dallas specifically are betting against these teams that are going on the road for the first time. You know, Houston and Dallas, they haven't played a road game yet. Seattle's a tough place to play. And when it gets to the Vipers, 6.5's a lot of points. And another thing is, too, their convert rules, it's not leading to points. You know, everyone's playing it safe. If it's one thing, too, the XFL needs to do, they need to encourage their coaches to be a little bit more risk adverse. It goes against coaches' natures, man. You know what I mean? Like, if you get a bunch of, like, you know, dudes off the street, whatever, man, they'll go for it on 4th-and-18 and stuff. But you've got qualified, smart coaches in the XFL right now, and they're not going to do something stupid. They're trying to win the football game. So, you know, it's very, very vanilla. Like, you know, coaches don't go for it much on 4th down. You know, you have the 3-point conversion rule. Coaches aren't using it. You know, they're just going for the simple the single point after from the 2-yard line. You know, I get it. The coaches are trying to win. It's a competition. It's a real league. There's money at stake. And don't forget, this one's a cool thing too. The winning team in the XFL gets $200,000, so they split it up. You know, it's like an extra, you know, 4 or 5K each for a player. That's real money. You know, so it's a little bit of an incentive. And I think another thing the XFL needs to do, and there's been talk about the quarterback play. Well, listen, guys, there's shitty quarterbacks in the National Football League, right? And that's supposedly the best league in the world. It is, but, you know, considering some of the bad quarterbacks and the bad decisions these GMs make, it's hard to call them the best. But it just goes to show it's hard to get good quarterbacks. But the XFL could actually be in a pretty good position to get quarterbacks because they'll be, dude, if they overpaid a couple of guys, like if you look, I'm not saying this year, but if you look in the National Football League, you know, a guy like Andy Dalton, let's say a guy like Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has literally made, guys, like $140 million in his life, all right? He's, how many more years does he have in the NFL? He's going to be a backup now. He'll get a job in the NFL as a backup. And, you know, he'll get $10 million a year or $7 million a year, whatever the hell it is. He's going to have to take a big pay cut. You know, what if a guy like Andy Dalton says, you know, I've already made more money than I've ever dreamed of. I've got $100 million in the bank. I don't really want to be a backup quarterback. I want to have fun and play the game. You know, like a Philip Rivers. I know it sounds crazy, like, you know, because he's all a famer, but I'm just throwing guys out there. There will be spillover from the National Football League. Now, the Canadian Football League is the second best league in the world. And the CFL, you figure, oh, the XFL is going to come on and stuff, but the CFL pays real money. Like quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League, some of these guys are making, you know, $750K a year. They used to make more, but they tried to, you know, limit it a bit. Doug Flutie was making over $1 million a year. Yet, that's pretty good money. You know, like to put in context, like EJ Manuel with the Raiders only got $900,000. So, like some of these guys, like Bo Levi Mitchell is a good example of that. Classic example. Bo Levi Mitchell could be a backup in the National Football League. He was going to make the Minnesota Vikings. But they basically told him, you have zero chance of playing, because he said, I wanted to compete with the, for the job with Kirk Cousins. And they told him, you're not here to compete. And they said, it doesn't matter how good you play, you are going to be a backup. And you might even be a third string. But we'll give you, you know, $750,000 a year. And he said, you know what, I'm already making that money with the Calgary Stampeders and I'm actually playing. So, you know, props to Bo Levy. We'll continue this conversation.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHope, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHope at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Get on the grid, Morenci Unfiltered podcast, as we're talking some XFL right now and about the quarterback play. And, you know, right now, and you never really know, right? You know, these leagues are, it's not a publicly traded company, so they're not going to exactly tell you how much everybody is making. I was under the impression that Cardale Jones was making $200,000 to be the quarterback of the D.C. Defenders. Now, we had Greg McElroy on, former Alabama quarterback, New York Jet, ESPN football analyst. We had Greg McElroy on. He does XFL games. And he said, no, he's making more than that. And listen, Greg McElroy got 50 on 50 on the Wonderlic, something I would never do. So I'll give him, you know, my point is, great. Listen, Greg's a smart guy. So how much is he making? $350,000. But think about it, guys. The XFL season is only 10 weeks. That's not long. You know, all right, you got training camp. They didn't even play an exhibition game. So you got, you know, two weeks of training camp, 10 weeks, two playoff games, semifinal championship game. You're playing 12 weeks. You're not practicing anywhere near in the same intensity level as it is in the National Football League. Like the CFL, like the proxies are like an hour. The players are like, listen, if you're going to pay us $200,000 a year, like we're not staying here 8 hours a day. You're not beating the crap out of us, right? Like that's why guys like playing in the CFL. But I'm telling you, if the XFL, like the CFL could be in, like would be in trouble, if the XFL started paying quarterbacks real money. But this is the other thing here. If you sign in with a CFL team, it's a freaking grind. Like it's not easy. It's not like, oh, you're in a CFL and it's a joke. Like the CFL is a serious ass league. You'll get cut. They'll replace you. Coaches expect to win. Fans are paying big money for tickets. Like the CFL is a real league, and it's a long ass league. You know, 18 games in a regular season, 2 bye weeks, 20 weeks. It's long, all right? And, you know, they actually play 2 preseason games. So that's, we're into 22 weeks now, plus training camp. All right, now we're into 25 weeks. Like, it's way longer than being an NFL player and going to the Super Bowl. Your season isn't that long, right? So you're playing in the Canadian Football League. You're there, man, for 25 weeks. So that's why I'm saying, like, a guy like Andy Dalton that has $100 million, isn't going to say, yeah, you know what? I want to play football, so I'm going to move to Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I'm going to freeze my ass off. I'm going to make $500,000, $700,000 a year, and I have to be there for like half the year. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I understand why. But imagine, like, if you're Andy Dalton and there's a football team in your hometown of Dallas. And I'm not saying this year. I'm saying, a couple of years down the road here, a guy like Andy Dalton. A retired guy that already has a ton of freaking money that just wants to play. Like, there's got to be a guy, there are a few guys out there, but they got to do it for money. Like, if you paid $500,000, that's better. You can get a decent player for $50,000 a week. You get what you pay for no matter what you're doing. Well, real estate, restaurants, whatever the hell you pay, whatever you get what you pay for, so to speak. So, like I'm saying, like if Vince McMahon has the money, guys, and a lot of leagues get in trouble. Like the USFL got in trouble in the old days with Donald Trump. The USFL got in trouble because they overpaid everybody, right? They were trying to take over the NFL. The XFL's not trying to take over the NFL. But Vince McMahon put aside $375 million for 2 years to fund this league. It's a lot of money. It basically costs about $200 million a year to run a league like this if you want to do it like properly. That's why the XFL ran out of money like halfway through the season. So I'm just saying, if you've got $375 million, there's only 10 teams. Like, why don't you just set aside $10 million even and say, you know what? I'm going to pay quarterbacks $1 million. I guarantee you, you pay quarterbacks $1 million, $100,000 a game, you're going to get good top-tier NFL quarterbacks saying, you know what? I'd rather get the million and play 10 games and have fun than make $800,000 to hold a clipboard and be the scout guy every day in practice. I'm telling you. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what their business model is, why Vince doesn't want to do that. I think Vince doesn't want stars in the league, as crazy as that sounds. I think he's trying to sell the league and not the star player, which I understand. It's sort of like the UFC model. It's UFC 168. It's UFC 243. It's not UFC Wilder versus Fury. You know what I mean? Like, they don't use the names. And I was told that, actually. From a marketing standpoint, it's deliberate. Right? Like, if you see a poster in a bar, all right, John Jones versus versus Cormier. The poster doesn't say Jones versus Cormier. The pay-per-view ads don't say, and I get it, card's subject to change, but it's basically they're selling the brand, right? They're not selling the fighter, they're selling the brand, so when the fighter's gone, the brand is still strong. And I think, I'm just getting into a business model because Vince McMahon is a freaking genius, all right? Think about this. Donald Trump, only president to be a WWE Hall of Famer. Donald Trump is friends with Vince McMahon. And, remember, like, Donald Trump used to participate at WrestleMania and all that type of stuff. I know some of you guys know this story, but... So Vince Vince McMahon and Trump are buddies, and Donald Trump like watches Monday Night Raw and stuff. Now I'm not. I don't know. I don't think he does anymore, but he did, right? And we got, you know, he's too busy watching Fox News and CNN. I mean, that's all Trump does is watch TV. But so Trump like watches TV. He was commenting about the Oscars the other night. Trump, like, Trump's a big pop culture guy. So this goes back. This is it's probably about, I don't know, what was it, about 10 years ago or so. And you know, you guys will remember, actually, the wrestling fans will remember, they killed Vince McMahon. They were, you know what I mean? Someone was going to kill him. And you remember he got into the limo on Monday Night Raw, and the limousine exploded. It blew up. And they ended the show, like, all serious. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What just happened? And then they, like, you know, they pretended like it was, you know what I mean? They did their little bit. And so the limo's, like, exploded. The limo's on fire. And JR says something. This is real, people. You know, and he's so full of shit. But Donald Trump called the WWE headquarters in the morning, got Triple H on the phone. Triple H, like, Donald Trump, all right. Donald Trump asked Triple H if Vince was okay. And he saw that he was involved in an explosion last night. Triple H had to tell Donald Trump it wasn't real. He said no, like, he got out the other side, and like, he wasn't in the limo like when it blew up. It was staged. It's wrestling. It's staged. And Trump said, oh, okay, good, good. I was worried. You know, he goes, I thought like he was gone. Donald Trump thought like Monday Night Raw's explosion was real. Vince McMahon has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try to get his wife Linda elected as a senator, congresswoman, house representative. She's ran twice in the state of Connecticut. They spent a ton of money, lost both times. And Trump just chants, build the wall a couple of times. And he gets elected spending like no money. And Vince McMahon is like a million times smarter than Donald Trump. Like, and I say a million, let's say like a trillion times. You know what I mean? Like I'm not even like, you know, I'm just being real here. And I'm not trying to disrespect Trump. But, you know, one of them's gone bankrupt 16 times. And one of them has turned a wrestling company into a, you know, multi-billion dollar entertainment conglomerate that produces movies, magazines, comic books, TV shows, you know, it's gotta bother Vince McMahon inside. He's gotta think, God, this guy's an idiot, and he became president. I should have ran for president. like think about it. So Vince McMahon's like, the guy's a genius. The guy's a smart ass guy. I'd like to know, like, why he would tell me, nah, this is why, Morency, this is why I'm not going to pay quarterbacks $2 million each. Because, you know, at that point, it really, you don't want, and I, you know, I think his thought is, you become a gimmick league when you do that. You know what I mean? Remember when I just said, you know, you don't want stars in a league? You become a gimmick league. Because people would tune in, oh, look, Brett Favre is playing. You know, let's say Brett Favre comes back. Brett Favre's like 46 or whatever. Brett Favre decides to pop a bunch of pills killers again. Decides to, you know, strap up the old Wranglers and get out there. Then people are just tuning in because it's like a freak show, right? So you don't, you know, you're not signing. I get it. But, you know, we'll go over some of these quarterbacks that are going to be available, guys. And I'm telling you, there's guys in the NFL right now that might not be in the NFL next year. So, speaking of quarterbacks, having fun talking XFL here. The Seattle Dragons, former Brandon Silvers was the quarterback at Troy. And you got Landry Jones. And you got 30,000 people in the stadium here. We were talking about it. I'm on Seattle here. I'm going to be betting against these teams that are going on the road for the first time. And Dallas are one of these teams that are going on the road for the first time. Dallas were pretty heavily hyped as well coming into the year. So this is sort of baked into this number right now. We are going to be on the home dog, a.k.a. the home dragon, that are the Seattle Dragons. All right, we'll get into the other two football games. And got some interesting numbers as far as that. You know, there's not a lot of trends yet. We're only 2 weeks in right now. But some pretty cool stuff about Cardale Jones. And his record as a starting quarterback is pretty amazing. We'll get into that and more. Let's roll.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Morenzi Unfiltered continues. Get on the grid. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, I've been going over the XFL, and I'm trying to crunch some numbers, find some trends, but we're still a little bit too early for this. The only only real thing that we've identified, which is the obvious one, is that we're 6-2 to the under through eight games.
Yeah, I mean, there were some really low-scoring games last Saturday. They picked it up a bit on Sunday. Kind of makes sense, though, in a way. You know, we talked about it last week. It's a little bit like handicapping the preseason. It's very heavy on the coach's intents, you know, and the quarterback. And that's how the first couple of weeks have been. And as we see with preseason games, they're usually much lower scoring initially than a regular season game, and especially in week one of the preseason. So I think it kind of makes sense that that's happening. I think the other reason as well is, you know, we saw all these crazy rules, the overtime, you know, the conversion differences, the 1, 2, and 3-point conversions. You know, and in week one, at least, I don't know about last week. I know in week one, nobody attempted the 3-point conversion. We haven't had any overtimes yet. So I think it's been more real regular football than maybe people expected, even though we know they want offense. But I still go back to what I said last week. I think in week 7, week 8, we're going to look back and be like, boy, can't believe we could have played some over-unders in the low 40s. Even though these games have been going under, I think the totals will probably be a lot higher in about a month.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I talked about it earlier about the football. And if anything, you know, I think that the XFL is too early for any judgments. But I was saying earlier, Steve, I thought that the XFL should sort of encourage the coaches to loosen up a little bit. Right. But there's, you know, this is real football, and that's a good thing. It's not a gimmicky league. Coaches don't want to lose games. They're not just going to go for some, you know, frilly 3-point convert unless they absolutely positively have to. And you know, we're seeing a couple of teams stand out right now. But as you stated, and I brought it up earlier as well, we're not, you know, they play 4 preseason games in a National Football League. CFL even play 2 preseason games. So we have to give these offenses a chance to develop a little bit. So let's jump in here, Steve. I broke down the Roughnecks in the Vipers game. You know, I got burnt by the Vipers coming into the season. They were heavily hyped. They had a 7.5 win total out of 10 games. They were the co-favorites to win. Right behind Dallas at the time. They haven't scored a freaking touchdown through 2 football games. Aaron Murray's back at quarterback, but he's not that good, yet they are playing at home. I brought this theory up. Both Houston and Dallas have not gone on the road yet, Steve. How much of a detriment is that going to be? Because everyone's loving, you know, Walker, P.J. Walker, everyone's loving the Roughnecks, but first time they have to go on the road all year. What are your thoughts on fading the teams going on the road, specifically Houston and Dallas?
Yeah, and then, you know, D.C.'s on the road for the first time as well on Sunday.
Yep.
And, you know, they're all road favorites. All 3 of them are, you know, almost touchdown or more road favorites. Dallas is only 4, but the other 2 are 6.5, 8.5. Yeah, the first initial reaction when I looked at the lines this week was it's definitely not necessarily an overreaction because it might not be, but it's definitely a reaction to how these teams have looked in the first 2 weeks. You know, when we started the show a couple weeks ago, Dallas was the 4-1 favorite. after the first week, DC was the favorite, and now they're still a 2-1 favorite because they've won both games. Maybe they are that much better. Maybe these teams aren't going to catch up, but I know at least in the NFL, you know, weeks one and two often don't correlate to the rest of the season. You often see huge improvements, and you see it in college football as well. You know, week one in college football could often be quite different than week two or three. But you brought up an excellent point about no preseason, you know, because this is really only the third week they've played together, and there's no continuity because none of these guys have ever been together before. It's not like, you know, 90% of them played together last year on the team. So I think you could have a situation where some of these teams gel and continue to run for several weeks.
And I'll tell you, we're going to get to another team that I think might actually be the best team in the league when it's all said and done. And at 10-1, guys, you're not going to get a better number than you're going to get it this week. But how about Seattle at home too, Steve? Last week, 29,000 people, close to 30,000 people. It was like 29,700 or something like that. They're expecting another robust crowd on Saturday afternoon in Seattle, evening on the East Coast, 2 o'clock local time. And, you know, Seattle, one of these teams, they were tabbed to be, ooh, they're going to be the worst team in the league. Well, they've been battling. Their defense was real good last week against Tampa in week one. That was a closer, that, you know, D.C. wasn't blowing those guys out. I know because I laid the points with D.C. and I was stressing it out. They hung around with D.C. in week one. They beat Tampa. Now, second consecutive game at home. And I think, you know, we'll find out about what the home field advantage means in this league, Steve. But no other team has 30,000 people showing up to their games. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and, you know, Dallas, obviously they didn't have their quarterback in week one. But as I mentioned, you know, they're the preseason favorite to win it all. They lose outright as almost a double-digit favorite in week one. Obviously different quarterback situation in week two. But, yes, Seattle was actually beating D.C. outright for the first half of that game as a double-digit dog. Then they beat Tampa, who's considered one of the best teams last week. So, yeah, really Seattle's done nothing to disprove the fact that they're a good team right now. It's all that perception from the beginning of the year. But if there's ever a time where the odds makers and everybody in general could be dead wrong about the beginning of the year, it's this league because no one's seen anybody play, you know. So just because Seattle was supposed to be a bottom feeder and Dallas is supposed to be the best team coming in does not mean it's going to be anywhere close to that. You know, normally the professional NFL and the other leagues, you have a reversion to the mean. Normally those are pretty accurate predictions. But, yeah, we knew nothing going into this week.
No, and we've seen the futures are being affected by each who wins a game each week. So clearly the odds makers are in the same position that we're in right now. I'm taking a four with Seattle. All right, so these next games I haven't broken down at all yet, Steve. So the New York Guardians at the Battle Hawks. I'm surprised they haven't cut McGloin's ass. I kept hitting refresh, and I kept waiting for it here in New York that, yeah, they gotta fire this guy. Like, you can't have your quarterback saying our coaches don't know what the F they're doing on the sidelines during the game. But I guess that's what makes the XFL. And I thought Gilbride's answer was pretty good. He was asked during the game. Russini said, you know, McGloin says the game plan can't work, and, you know, we're unprepared for this game. And he's like, oh, really? Tell him he should be playing better, which I thought was a pretty good comeback. But this team is in turmoil. And when I said there's a team out there, Steve, at 10-1 right now at FanDuel to win the championship, this St. Louis Battlehawks team, Steve, very impressive. I was on them last week. You know, yeah, it came down to a 4th-and-12 for them to cover, but Jordan Tamu, this kid's completed, Steve, 50 of his 64 attempted passes. They've got the number one ranked defense in the XFL, and I think they have they're the number one ranked offense as well as far as yards. But basically, they might be the most complete team, and they haven't played at home yet, Steve. This is their first home game. New York's a mess. I think we have a route here. I don't like laying points, but I think St. Louis, I mean, if you've seen them play, Steve, they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, what's kind of cool about having just eight teams is that, you know, the comparative, you know, analysis works a lot better because all these guys are playing each other fairly quickly into the season. Now, granted, you got to be careful with just two games. You can always have an off week, and obviously these teams are going to improve a lot, you know, compared to week one because they're just playing together for the first time. But yeah, I think comparatively, if you look at what St. Louis has done, they've been as impressive as anybody. They played the preseason favorite on the road, Dallas, as about a 10-point dog and won that game outright. Now, granted, Dallas, you know, starting quarterback was out, but still an outright win there. And then last week, they played the co-favorite along with D.C. Houston was kind of the co-favorite going into week two. They played them on the road and only lost by 4 points. So, yeah, I think they've really actually kind of won both games, you know, when you look at it from a point spread perspective. Obviously, they have.
Yep.
And now they're at home for the first time. You got to assume, with like all these other teams, the home openers have been huge crowds, and that's got to be worth 3-4 points at least now.
And just to clarify as well, I said, all right, so St. Louis, number one ranked defense, and number one ranked offense, just to confirm. So, wow. Yeah, and as well, Steve, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm telling you. Now on the road, at 10-1, dude, too. At 10-1. Very, very impressive. And we should note as well, there's only two teams in the XFL so far that are perfect against the spread already. After 2 weeks, Steve, there's only two teams that are 2-0 ATS. That's the DC Defenders and the St. Louis Battlehawks. So I'm going to be looking to lay the 10 in this game. So and you talked about the crowd, Steve. I was on this. I've been looking at the St. Louis Dispatch, and in today's day and age, remember in the old days, Steve, it was easy, man. You know, you just sort of go to these, go to the newspapers, get the info. They block you now, like, you know, ad blocker. You know, you got to take ad blocker. Like a lot of these papers, they want you to subscribe and stuff. It's like, listen, I want to get information on the St. Louis Battlehawks, but I'm not giving you $4.99 to do it for the St. Louis Dispatch. But we couldn't find like the projected attendance, but I can tell you what, the entire lower bowl is basically sold out. From what I understand, they only have the suites left. So, and you know, they're not opening the entire stadium, but I think they might have about 25,000-30,000 in St. Louis. They don't have an NFL team, Steve. So it'll be really interesting right. to see how it's responded. But I talked about it this morning. The St. Louis Battlehawks are doing great on TV in the St. Louis market. Like, if you combine the University of St. Louis, Missouri, and the St. Louis Blues in all their games in the week combined, it didn't add up, like, basically to the Battlehawks. Like, they're getting, like, people in St. Louis are paying attention, so I think they will have a raucous crowd on Sunday.
Yeah, and you mentioned the two teams that are perfect against the spread and probably been the two best teams overall, because D.C. is the favorite to win it right now. They've been extremely good in their two games as well. You've got two teams, one that just lost an NFL franchise, a former Super Bowl city in St. Louis, and then one that is an NFL city and also multiple Super Bowls and has been awful for 20 years, of course, is D.C. And you hit that nail on the head back in week one.
Yep.
About how ironic it would be if they end up doing better than the Redskins. And I'm pulling for them just for that reason. It's hard not to.
Yeah, there's a little buzz about them because of that, actually. I called it. You're right, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it. I'm like, right away, I was like, man, people hate Snyder so much. They're going to love rubbing this in his face. And I brought it up. I said, every hat, every, like, the D.C. Defender jersey, that's $100 less that's going to the Redskins. And you know that pisses them off, Steve. Because, you know, you could say, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, the D.C. Defenders aren't they're a mosquito next to the Washington Redskins. But rich guys don't get rich by not caring about competition. And I just guarantee, you know, it pisses Snyder off that people are having a good time down there for $20, buying merchandise for cheap, and just, you know, having a good time at the game. Because people outside of Washington, and Steve's, you know, a Redskin guy in the area, is how much people hate those stadiums. They're in the middle of nowhere, fan experience terrible, the team sucks, everything's expensive, the atmosphere at the game sucks. You know, Redskin fans are getting angry. And, you know, D.C. Defenders. It's funny you say that, though, Steve, too. Columbus has the highest TV market. Interesting. They don't have a team. You know, people in Columbus love the XFL. And, you know, I don't know why they don't go to San Diego as well, but let's take a quick break. We'll continue the XFL. We'll get into NASCAR as well with Steve Merrill.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHope, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHope at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Get on the Grid. Moretti Unfiltered podcast continues. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill, CoverageExperts.com, Pro Sports Info. Steve, we're talking about the St. Louis Battlehawks potentially being the best team in the league that people aren't talking about. We're getting them at 10-1 right now to win the championship. But you have the D.C. Defenders, who, if we want to go by the numbers, we have to give these guys credit, although they played both their games at home. And the Guardians might be a terrible football team as well, and they got Seattle in week one. So the Defenders are laying 8.5 to the Wildcats. Josh Johnson back for the L.A. Wildcats, longtime quarterback. What do you make of the Defenders going on the road for the first time?
Yeah, and they're traveling cross-country on top of that. You know, maybe not a huge deal. You know, it's a Sunday evening kickoff. But L.A. is the one team you feel like if there's going to be one city out of these eight that don't really get behind their franchise, you'd assume it's probably L.A. They can hardly get behind their two NFL franchise. So it'll be interesting to see how D.C. performs. But you brought up a good point about the level of play. Seattle was expected to be the worst team coming in. They actually trailed them from a good amount of that game in week one. And then the Guardians were one of the top three or four favorites coming in, but you and I both were not as big on them as the odds makers.
No, remember we both said, Steve. I remember we both said at the time, yeah, we're like, are they just co-favorites because they're from New York? And we both laughed and said, yeah, we think so.
Yeah, I just couldn't picture Kevin Gilbride in this league. And like you said, these coaches need to open things up. And if there's one coach out of the eight that's probably going to be the last to open anything up, I would think it's probably Kevin Gilbride.
Well, you know, or, you know, well, you got Winston Moss, who's a defensive guy.
Yeah, that's true.
They already fired their defensive – Pepper Johnson got fired after the first game, if you're wondering if they're taking this serious or not. Yeah, they are. Enough to fire. This is interesting, Steve. How about this? Cardale Jones has started 13 football games in his life. You know what his record is? 13-0.
Shooting. Yeah, I don't think he lost at Ohio State, did he?
11-0 in Ohio State. He never started an NFL game, but 11-0 at Ohio State, now 2-0 in the XFL. Not bad. 13-0 straight up.
Who picked him up in the NFL, by the way?
Buffalo Bills.
I don't even remember.
Buffalo Bills.
Was he drafted? He had to be drafted, right?
Yeah, they drafted him in like the fourth round. Fourth round. I think it was late fourth round.
How did he not last? But how did he not stay on a roster as a second or third star? He's got that lazy perception to him. I'm wondering if that was part of it.
He's a little out of shape. You know what I mean? Actually, no. You know what's crazy? No, like someone told a story actually during a week about Cardale to us about how he really built himself out of nothing. Actually, like he had no money. He trained and like you know he taught himself to be a quarterback as a kid. And you know it's an interesting story actually, but. You know, I don't know. He's you know what it is? He's not mobile. He's kind of fat. Like, he's a big, kind of big dude. He did last, though, Steve. Like, this was his first year out of the NFL. So, okay. He's made some money. You know what I mean? Like, you're the second, third string quarterback in the NFL for 5-6 years, Steve. He's made more money than you or I have, I'll tell you that. Like, he's made, you know. And I thought he was making $250,000 to play this year. And I had Greg McElroy on. You remember Greg McElroy, quarterback Alabama? He does the XFL on ABC.
Yeah, he's doing the announcing, yeah.
Yeah, and he had a perfect 50 on a Wonderlic. And he said, no, he's getting more than that. So I don't know how much more, but it's only 10 weeks, Steve. So it's not bad. I mean, he's making 20, you know, 35, 45, 50K a week. You know, so good for Cardale. He's played well. But, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. So he is 13-0, and props to Mark Lawrence. For putting it together, 11-0 Ohio State, 2-0 in the XFL. He's got a quarterback rating of 102. It's third best in the league. He has the most passing yards in the XFL, 511. But DC Defenders plus 39 point differential, Steve. Still laying 8.5 going on the other side of the country against an LA team that now have their quarterback back, getting 8.5. I'm leaning with the underdog here.
Yeah, if there's any other city than L.A., I would really think it's a good spot to take the contrarian approach.
It's going to be empty.
This is like the St. Louis or Columbus market. Yeah, it is. It's just, I mean, although it might throw D.C. off also because D.C.'s had a sold-out crowd for the first 2 weeks at Aldi Stadium.
Yeah, no, they're going to roll in. They claim there was 14,000 people. And, Steve, they're playing in the same stadium that the Chargers play in. So they claim that there was 14,000 people. There wasn't. You know, like there was less than 10,000 people. And the team wasn't very good. So I can't imagine on a Sunday night, like you said, Steve, that too many people are going to want to go out there to check this out in L.A. Like you said, they're not going to go to Charger games for cheap. They're certainly not going to this. I don't know why I know why they put a team here because of the market and stuff like that. But so as we stated, only two teams are 2-0 against the spread. A quick check, Houston 1-1 ATS St. Louis are 2-0 ATS. The Defenders are 2-0 ATS. The Wildcats, 0-2 ATS. Landry Jones has only played in one game. He covered in the game that he played. Seattle, 1-1 ATS. Guardians, 1-1 ATS. And Vipers are 0-2 ATS. All right, Steve. So let's get into a little college basketball. What do you think of the that big Baylor and Kansas matchup?
Yeah, right now, and I have several different sets of power rankings, but two of my most reliable sets have these as the first and second ranked teams. I've had Kansas number one for a while now. I think there's a lot of teams that could win it this year, but I think they're probably the most balanced team. Actually, what's interesting, Gabe, is if you look at the efficiency ratings, just the national offense and defensive efficiency ratings adjusted for schedule strength, San Diego State is still the only team in the country that ranks top 10 in both. Kansas is 11th in offense, second in defense, so they're pretty close. I just think Kansas has the better offense. Both these teams are fantastic defensively, maybe the two best in the country. But I think Kansas a little bit more reliable offensively, and that'll probably be the difference in the game.
Are you taking San Diego State seriously as far as like a legitimate championship contender team? Do you think they can play with Gonzaga, Kansas, et cetera, the Dukes of the world?
You know, I was talking about this yesterday, and my analogy obviously is Gonzaga. You know, that's the team that's always been romping in a smaller conference where the schedule strength is a concern. And for years they couldn't get past that Elite Eight or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, they did lose in the finals recently. But then again, they've been there so many times. I just personally, from my years of experience, I can't envision San Diego State making the run for six straight games. I just think even if you're really that good, there's just something to be said about, you know, being taken to the wire a few times in the regular season, even losing a few times like all these other teams have. And I just think even if they really are as good as anybody, that lack of schedule strength will make the difference in one of those games.
Yeah, no, I agree, Steve. And it's not, you know, they can play with anybody. I think San Diego State can play with anybody, but they're not going to be able to do it for four nights in a row or four games in a row, five games in a row. And you called it. You see it with Gonzaga all the time. Yeah, they can hang with anybody, but problem is if you're not used to playing in close games, it's a real problem. And, you know, like you see it with Gonzaga, if you blow teams out by 38 every night for like 42 times in a year, then suddenly you're getting punched back. And it's like, wow, well, we never had to take a, you know, who's taking a shot? What's the play, coach? We've never had to call a play. We've never been in a situation where we're down two with a minute left all year. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to fight through that. I'm high on this Jayhawk team, too. I've been saying it all year. To me, that's the best team. You know, what about Dayton, though, Steve? You know, and here's another one. I don't know if Dayton can win it all, but I think they're probably, even though they're not undefeated, I think they're better than San Diego State. And Dayton are real. These guys are tough to deal with. Really physical guys, man. They battle for every loose ball. They're just like they're like a street ball team of tough-ass dudes. I buy into them a little bit more than San Diego State, to be honest. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, the one thing I will say about San Diego State and why I think they have a shot, they play at one of the slowest tempos in the country. They're good offensively and defensively, but they play slow. And as you know, that's what I love come tournament time.
Limits possessions.
Right. You look at Butler's run a couple years ago. You know, they made that run back-to-back years. They played that way under Brad Stevens. Virginia, of course, last year. Texas Tech last year. They both played that way. They both made the finals. So I do. San Diego State reminds me of Virginia and Texas Tech in that regard. I just wish their schedule strength was stronger like those two teams that had been tested more. Dayton, meanwhile, some rankings have them as the second most efficient offense in the country right behind Gonzaga. So they're really good offensively, but they're only 53rd on defense. And Gonzaga, by the way, is 26th on defense. So I really think Gonzaga and Dayton, I rate them behind San Diego State just because they're a lot weaker defensively and they play faster.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, Steve, we've got a couple of minutes left. The NASCAR season. Listen, you and I have been talking. You know, you and I have been doing this show for what I don't know, over about 15 years now. So we've seen a lot of, we've seen NASCAR's popularity go up, go down, and you know, you and I both agreed over the last couple of years, it's cooled off a little bit from that peak from let's say you know about 10 years ago, and people just couldn't get enough of NASCAR. But I will say, and I know it's at the expense of Ryan Newman, but he's out of the hospital. I think, you know, the crash and the attention that it brought actually got people sort of talking about NASCAR this week. And, you know, it's you got not week two right now in Vegas going in there. I'm curious to see how people get into it from a betting standpoint, a fantasy standpoint. Because even I notice, even our listeners and viewers, sometimes they're all gung-ho about NASCAR. And in other years, oh, wow, the NASCAR year kind of passes this year. So what were your thoughts on week one? And what are your thoughts on this race here in Vegas this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that could help out the XFL and NASCAR in years going forward here, and it makes it maybe a little more viable than a couple years ago, is the fact that so many states have legal sports betting now, and even more will have it next year and the year after. With that said, though, a lot of people just don't bet on NASCAR. I've noticed that over the year with my clients' base, there's just not a lot of interest. And, you know, back in the day, I used to crush it in NASCAR. Now the odds are a lot sharper than they were 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
They look at the practice times. They look at the past results. And even though more different guys seem to win races, there really is only a handful of guys that can win every weekend. Now, that's not the case at Daytona last week, as we talked about. It's wide open. Newman was going to win that race. He was about 400 feet from the finish line. He gets wrecked. You know, and Blaney was actually going to win then, and then Hamlin passes him at the last second. So it's always wide open on those. This is the first real track we've had this season. It's what I call a cookie cutter. It's one of those mile and a half ovals. Half the tracks on the 36 race season is like this. So this will be the one you want to watch, take notes, because it'll translate to about half the tracks this year. The usual suspects probably will be Joe Gibbs Racing, Kyle Busch, Truex, somewhat Hamlin, and Eric Jones, I think, will be coming up stronger this year in that organization. And then Kevin Harvick's team. You know, Harvick's always great here. Almirola and Bowyer have been a lot stronger since being added to this team a couple years ago. I thought those were the ones to beat last year, along with Keselowski and Logano, the other Fords. The Chevys are the ones that are going to be interesting to me, though, because they've gotten better the last couple of years after making changes. And I think both Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott could do better this year than expected, especially Chase Elliott. He seems to be getting better and better each year. I keep waiting for Kyle Larson to break out, but I almost get a feeling that he's kind of plateaued into that second place finisher like he's been for a few years now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned one of the drivers that I think is ready to have, and you and I think you agree on him, that he could have an impact on things this year, and that's Eric Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the best team. And I mean, they had three of the four final drivers last year. And by the way, I've talked to guys that grew up with Hamlin in the Chesterfield area here in Virginia, and he used to run third or fourth at the local tracks. A lot of people that know the inside of racing feel like he wouldn't be nearly as good if he wasn't on that team, whereas I think, you know, Truex and Kyle Busch would be really good wherever they are.
Yep.
And now that Eric Jones is the fourth driver on that team and he won a championship, he actually was better than Hamlin at the lower levels. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of upside potential there. You've got a talented championship driver from other leagues that's now on the best team, at least, you know, from the last couple of years they were the best team.
Steve Merrill, thanks for the time, Steve.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.